Yeah, that's good. So this is the last in a series, a four-month series of Saturday afternoons. And we probably could all say something about that. But our tendency is, whenever it feels like there's a completion for our culture, our particular culture, to have sadness, grief, regret, missing, stuff like that. And when you listen within, so I'm going to do the backstory. When I'm listening within, never know what I'm going to say. That's the backstory. When I listen within, I never know what's going to come out of me. So I can be just as surprised as you. And when I first began listening within, teaching a large group, actually parents was where it happened outside, I often would say, wow, did you hear that? I never knew that, because what was coming through, I had never heard or read or thought before. It simply came through, and I was teaching it often on a blackboard to maybe 40, 50 people. So that was my first experience. So often when I speak with you in this kind of setting, I don't know what's going to come through. I listen, and I hear it, and I respond to it. So now let's see if I can go back to whatever that past piece was. It's about letting go and about the human condition of teaching each other to feel sorry and sad. Sometimes if it's the end of a school year or the end of, I don't know what it would be, something that you could celebrate, sometimes people would celebrate. But very often there is a kind of learned regret rather than a simple acknowledgement, wow, I'm being guided to let go. I'm being guided to let go of this body. How exciting. I wonder what's going to happen next. Or I'm being guided to let go of this group. Or I'm being guided to let go of this marriage. Or I'm being guided to let go of living in this place. Or do you understand what I'm saying? Everything. But if you are really in touch with yourself and you're really listening, you understand that everything, and I mean everything, works together for good. Now, we were just talking before three of you came about various circumstances in which we find ourselves judging or we find ourselves taking responsibility and feeling guilty. So it can be either we are attacking ourselves, I shouldn't have done that, or attacking somebody else. But what if, just what if, everything you've ever thought, experienced, all of that, is gently planned. This is A Course in Miracles coming through right now. Gently planned by one whose only purpose is your good. What if everything is gently planned by one whose only purpose is your good? Now, for me, that took almost no, it was a no-brainer for me, because I don't have a lot of thoughts that things aren't good. You know, I didn't grow up with people around me in situations that were judging this is good, this is bad, and all that stuff. But for most people, to in any way think that this circumstance that currently is happening is actually for my good, my benefit, it's rare that people think that way. But look at what happens if you think that way. You start wondering, well, what's good about this? You start asking, if you're listening to Spirit, well, Spirit, what do you have in mind here? What lesson am I to learn? Or how does this benefit all humanity? There was just a disaster somewhere, or there was just a train wreck or something. You know what I'm saying? How could this possibly be of value to anybody? But if you could imagine that, you know that you wouldn't contract in fear. You wouldn't seek to find somebody or something to blame. Your eyes would be wide open like an innocent child, and you would wonder, I wonder where the good is. That's what happens, in my experience, when you're willing to interlisten, when you're willing to trust that there is a higher power, a God, a Holy Spirit, a higher self, something beyond us that actually knows exactly how humanity needs to evolve or awaken in order to return to its own God state, its own holiness. So for me, listening within, when it came to me and someone just said, sit and do nothing for 5 minutes a day, one of the most simple and greatest gifts I probably have ever been given. But you know what? My belief is that if Michael George was his name, hadn't been there, somebody else, some other time, would have shown up. Because it's what I was given to be and do, is to teach this. All right, teach this. Let me clarify that. I believe none of us truly teach anything that we are not also learning. So the first step to any teaching is to learn, is to be open to learn from every student, from every experience, from every inner revelation, I'm going to call it. Any book you read, what am I to learn from it? And when you begin learning, you want to share it. That's called teaching. And in the sharing, you discover more and more and more at deeper and deeper depths. And the whole life experience becomes like an opening, an awakening that has no end. It's beyond and beyond and beyond. So it never stops. And when we stop it, put the learning in a box, the stuff in a box, what happens is there's a way that we get stuck and we perseverate, we stop listening, we stop learning, and we get stuck on the rightness or the righteousness of whatever it is. Can you imagine what it would be like to be a curious kid, a wondering student of, I'll say, the universe, and to always go into everything with your eyes wide open, with every part of you welcoming. I wonder what's happening here. I wonder what the part is I'm to play. I wonder how this is going to turn out. I wonder what I'm to do next. Rather than, ain't it awful, or how did I get myself in this mess, or I'm not sure that I want to do this anymore. Get me out of here. I've got to avoid this. I'm listening. When I pause like that, I'm listening. And that's because, I mean, I've been doing this actively, however long that is, 30, 40, about 40 years, I guess. 40 years, yeah. Pre-Robert, I listened 10 years before Robert.
Yeah, what went wrong? She missed one, I guess, so it's okay.
Good. Well, you're clearly one of those interesting guidances. Yeah.
I'm the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah.
Continued opportunities to listen again.
That whole story is really good. So, ask yourself, is there anyone special? So now I'm going to talk a little bit about specialness. Is there anyone special here? Is it special to be old? Is it special to be young? Is it special to prophesy? Is it special to get in trouble? Is it special? Because we have categories of special bad, you know that, and special good, you know that? You know, those guys are really bad, those guys are really stupid, those guys are really clever, those guys are really smart, you know, like that, we have all those. But what if each one of us, in our own unique way, has value to the greater whole? And so we don't have to compare, we don't have to judge ourselves or anybody else, we just need to be awake to listen and learn, listen and love.
So the question for us would be, I don't mean today, I just mean in involvement in general would be, you know, so what do I have to offer to this? What's my part in what I'm seeing playing out here? So
every moment.
Yeah.
Every moment.
So even if we're saying, man, they're so rich, or they're so smart, or they're so decorated, or they're so, you know, okay, but I'm here, so what's my part to play? And from that perspective, we begin to recognize that our part is just as important as the part of those people that we really hold up on a pedestal, or it's important, as important as the wake-up call of the people that we put over in the whole negative category, too. It's like we've got a part to play, and we tend to lose that when we begin to look outside at everybody else's part.
And we would stop trying, we would stop comparing, we would stop making a big deal about what we think we are or aren't, and we would simply return to love within us and recognize our own natural innate state of wholeness, of holiness. Everyone, all of us. And do you understand that when we get there, when we're not doing that pushing away of something or attracting and pulling toward us something, that what happens is we literally, thank you, Robert, for the energy of it, I think you talked about last week, flowing like water, and we would flow like water. We would, our energy would flow like water to any place in which it was drawn. To all the lowly places is what the philosophy says. And we would naturally be called to give wherever we're called to give, to be with whoever we're called to be with, to learn from and with anybody we're called to learn with. So it's a very, it's very simple, it's very innocent, I call it, very natural, with no exhaustion, no need to struggle or suffer or try or all of that stuff. So let me go back to inner listening for a minute, because we are going to practice in a little bit. Inner listening for me is just a willingness to simply be. People have names for it now, and their books written about practicing the presence and developing silence and learning to meditate. I didn't know about any of that, and I'm really glad. I didn't know about any of that. Somebody said, sit and do nothing. So literally, I plunked a chair like this in the middle of my living room. My kids are still asleep, and I just sat. Oh, and he said 5 minutes, because I've never sat ever for anything. I'm a mover and a doer. I sit for 5 minutes. So that's what I did. I just sat for 5 minutes. I don't remember closing my eyes, but apparently I did close my eyes because I had a vision, an inner vision of this beautiful space, and I won't say that I saw it physically, that came through as a home of infinite love, and it was to be made open to anybody and everybody who wanted to come with no restrictions, no conditions. And I felt love. That's the easiest way to say it. Ah, wow, like that, like a kid. And so the next day, and I don't know why, except maybe I have this little student thing in me and I felt guided, I brought a pad of paper and a pen. That's all I did, you guys. And literally every day after that, early in the morning, I sat with my pad of paper and a pen and I wrote whatever I heard. That's inner listening that's given to all of us for all time, if we choose to receive it. It's sitting in a chair, basically in a position of a student, with a pad of paper and a pen saying, like this guy over here, Bob Alton, he often comes in here, he sits down, he makes sure he has a pad of paper and a pen. Like a student, he just sits down and there he is. And I wonder what our lives would be like if we were that open and willing to receive, to learn, to trust, to allow, to free ourselves, to just be a receptacle. Some people call it now a channel. You know, that's been commercialized, so I don't prefer to use that word. But it really is just being a channel, just being a vessel who opens up and says, sure, just fill me up. Fill me up, buttercup. and that really is the call for all of us. Be innocent kids, open and listen. That's it. And when you practice that every day, I'll tell you, your heart opens, your ears open, your mind opens, and pretty soon you become a regular. Not irregular, but a regular. And you say, I am willing to receive and follow, because every time I receive and follow, miracles open up. Magic happens. I know where to go, who to talk to, what to give, how to give, who to give. It just literally is life itself, flowing through me because I'm open and willing to receive. So, your turn.
No, I'm not going to do that. So.
You're not going
to
do
but
that.
But I want to say something, that unless you're going to talk about it later on, that it's important to actually write it down, because what happens is if we don't write it down, then it kind of goes through our mind and then it's gone. It gets diluted with the day's activities or the moment's activities or just getting up and going from there to do something else. We tend to forget. And what happens is we have this tricky little mind that hangs on to things that it's familiar with, worldly things, egoic things, how to handle it things, you know, stuck things, that basically is designed to look for what it understands already. So anything brand new tends to blow right by unless we write it down.
So I'm going to have you actually do the pieces that you came to do, and then I'm going to do the inner listening after. Okay?
Okay. You want, okay.
So I want to remind you, because the meditation that we usually do is I am one self. That means I am one self, all of us, united with my, our creator. And each of us visualizes that creator, that creative energy, totally differently from each other. I don't know if you know that. So we're united with that creator. And we are unlimited, unlimited in every way, because we are literally together in this. And when you're together in this, when it has all humanity, all creation, all beingness, all together, there is no limit. And that's the gift of being willing to drop all barriers, open up, and say, I am oneself united with my creator, at one with every aspect of creation, animals, terrorists, illnesses, weather conditions. I am literally at one with everything, everywhere. Sounds like God to me. Sounds like God to me. I am at one with God. And in that, I am unlimited. In power, which to me means creation, and totally at peace. I don't have thoughts about resistance. I don't have thoughts about fighting against anything, efforting or trying. I'm literally at home and at peace with who I am. Who I am. Yep.
So I had one a question about your feeling about meditation. So sitting and listening and writing down what you hear, is it also the right time to bring to a place of silence what you have written down and to consider that? And
to reflect on? It's one form.
So is that...
It's different. Yeah. There are a lot of paths. There's the path of praying and talking to, you know, dumping, letting go of stuff, our worries, our fears, surrendering. There's also that path. I'm giving it to you to take care of. There's also the path basically asking for something specific, like show me how, which is another way to actually use that spiritual power. I think the way most people meditate is they actually focus on their breath in order to let go of their chatter mind. In other words, they actually use techniques or tools, mantras very often, to just literally quiet that sort of surface mind, the worldly mind. For me, the reflection or contemplation mystic or meditator, because that's another kind of meditation, will actually take a piece of scripture to have greater, deeper understanding, or take a certain reading and have deeper understanding of it. For me, that's a whole different thing. It can happen when you sing, it can happen when you walk one step at a time, you're actually saying the Lord's Prayer, or you're chanting something. When I first started again in this gig, in this realm, 1976, one of my favorite things was Om Namah Shivaya, you know, which is literally taking a chant from some other language that I never heard of, but somehow together in a group when we were singing it, holding hands, there would be an opening that would come. So all of us have our own natural opening. I have a lot of roots in traditional Christianity, so I can sing a song about Jesus. You know, he walks with me and he talks with me, and feel absolutely Jesus right here with me, walking beside me. All of us have our own way, and that's what we need to do. We can start out with the manufactured way that somebody tells us or teaches us, but for me, because it came with no awareness of anything called meditation. I mean, I don't think I'd ever uttered the word or heard anybody talk about it. It was all really new. And so it just was given to me naturally because I was open and willing. So his question is inviting me to learn and to have us learn is be open to whatever way works for you. If that's what fills you with that sense of grace or that feeling of union, you know, use it, whatever it is, whatever it is. Okay? So I'm just going to say, because you prepared for today, let's do that. And then we'll have the last part.
It's always better to listen than to prepare, I'll tell you that. Yeah. But I did pull out a couple of things here. And so, today's topic actually is listen and follow. And because they're important pieces to me, that not we don't just hear it, but we actually do something about it. So in Revelations, Revelations is a really fun book in lots of ways. I don't pretend to even understand it. But Revelations, it's the last book in the Bible, and essentially the John that wrote the book of Revelations wasn't the John that wrote the book of John, but what he's doing is he's taking dictation from Holy Spirit. Revelations is actually the written inner guidance of this guy John, who's going through all this. And what's fun, we've heard it a bunch of times, but I didn't realize 7 times in the book of Revelation he says, "He who has ears to hear, let him listen to Holy Spirit."
Yes.
You know, and then it'll go on and say, basically, "This is what I hear." You know, and then he says it again. "He who has ears to hear, listen to Holy Spirit." Now, he's not saying, "Listen to me." He's really saying, "Listen to Holy Spirit." And I hadn't really realized that. So what he's done is he's actually put it together, his pictures, his guidance. And, yeah, I mean, he's saying, "This is the way it's going to be." But he says again and again and again, "Listen to Holy Spirit." And just one I pick, I like that, is that "He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Holy Spirit says. To those who overcome, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is the paradise of God." Now, overcome what? Overcome our resistance to listening. And that's all. It's basically, we say overcome the world, well, what does that mean? You know? But it just means quit believing in it. When you quit believing in it, it quits having power over you. And so we're back to where we focus on, you know, we get more of. And if we focus on the world, we have more worldly stuff. If we let go of the world, then we can focus more on Holy Spirit and have more of that. Proverbs says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own insight." That's important for me because most of us, when we contemplate something, what we're doing is we're basically going over the thoughts that we have about it. Or when we take counsel, we ask somebody else their thoughts about it and put that into the mix. But mostly what happens is we're basically churning over the stuff that everybody's thinking about or the people agree with or whatever. So we're not listening to anything new. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, so don't figure it out in your head. Figure it out in your heart. Buddha says, "Just as treasures are uncovered from the earth, so virtue appears from good deeds, and wisdom appears from a pure and peaceful mind. To walk safely through the maze of human life, one needs the light of wisdom and the guidance of virtue." It's a Zen master from 1220 or something like that. But he said it real clearly. "Do not follow the ideas of others, but learn to listen to the voice within yourself. Your body and mind will become clear, and you will realize the unity of all things." By the way, when he's talking about the ideas of others, "Do not follow the ideas of others," probably more of those ideas of others are stored in here and we've already agreed to them and we think they are ours, mm-hmm, than even the ones that we consider out there. So again, I think he's saying get away from the stuff that everybody thinks, that everybody agrees on, and open up to something new and something different. And Ram Dass always says it nicely. He says, "The spiritual journey is individual and highly personal. Mm-hmm. It can't be organized or regulated. It isn't true that everyone should follow one path. Listen to your own truth." So, I don't know how technically accurate this is, but it was fun to do. So you'll clean up all of this stuff, you know, when I'm done here.
I don't know what that's about.
Well, so I looked at what I called here 6 tips on how to listen within, okay?
Good.
And I'll give you each a little. In fact, yeah, I'll give it to you later. one of the deals with listening, if you haven't noticed, is that most of us have a pretty noisy mind. You meaning there's always stuff going on. We're, you know, when we listen, I mean, in between what we hear out here, we're listening to what we say in here. And so the question really is, when we talk about, you know, listening, what voice are we listening to? You know, I mean, are we listening to our own voice, or a filtered or edited version of our own voice, or everybody else's voice? Or are we listening to a little different voice, something that we don't usually pay attention to? Whether you consider that Holy Spirit, whether you consider that your inner guidance, whether you consider that God talking to you, or Buddha or Jesus, or your grandmother speaking from the grave. I mean, none of that really matters to me. But there are voices that we have access to which are not as cloudy as the voice that we listen to and add to on a daily basis. So the 6 tips on how to listen within, because most of this is actually in the Bible. This is what was fun for me, I mean, to play with this a little here. So the first tip is have a regular time and place. You know what? Take one of these in case you actually were thinking about writing it down. They're right there. All right.
Thank you.
So the first one is have a regular time and place. And Jesus in Luke, I think there's enough of them to go around. I got more here. We have quite enough. We're going to be one short. No, too short. One short. There you go. That's it. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, good. So in Luke, Jesus said, "Then he said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me."
Yep.
Now, he didn't say take up your cross or change your mind or you know, have a conversion moment, it's all said and done. He said you got to do this daily. Mm-hmm. It's a daily decision.
Right.
And Paul in Corinthians said the same thing. He said, I die daily. And what he meant was he lets go of everything. The world is gone for him. He goes inside. He's there with Spirit every single day. So it's usually easier because, unlike Paul, most of us aren't on the road to Damascus, so we're not likely to get hit by a bolt from Holy Spirit, you know, unannounced on a daily basis. It's nice to have an actual time. And it's like any appointment. And I could make it up if I want to personify God, that if I say, you know what, I'm going to be there at 6 o'clock every morning, then God will show up.
That is what happens, by the way.
Yeah. So if you have a regular time, then all of your spiritual forces are gathered at that time for you because you're trustworthy and you're there and you're open and you're willing. The other thing that happens, by the way, and I like time and place, is if you have that regular place, then forgetting all the spiritual wonderful stuff that you're really doing this for, just from a human body, personality, worldly perspective, if every time you sit in that same chair, you focus on God, then all you have to do is sit in that chair and your focus is instantly on God. So you're giving yourself a head start. It's like the seat is already warmed up. So regular time and regular place. The second is a time and a place alone and undistracted. Now, in Matthew, when Jesus is talking about, basically it's the preamble to the Lord's Prayer, when he actually gives the Lord's Prayer. And you might know, by the way, he didn't say, this is the only prayer, this is the best prayer. What he said was, pray kind of like this. And so what he's saying is that the elements that are in what we now call the Lord's Prayer are the elements that need to be in prayer. Well, when he's talking about that, before that he said, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is in heaven. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And what he's really saying here to me is you want to be someplace that's undistracted. And he's actually contrasting this, by the way, because there are Pharisees and people like that that go around praying in public and on the street corners and look at me, I'm so holy. And what he's saying is, go away. Undisturbed, be quiet, don't get distracted, and you'll be heard, you'll be listened, you'll be responded to. Now the third is to tune in or to connect. you know, we've heard a thousand times, is be still and know I am God. And if I take that, the implication is that unless we're still, it's really difficult to know God. And to me, still doesn't mean like I don't move and all of that. Still means still in spirit. Still, my mind is still. I'm at peace. However you want to define that. So you can be moving 100 miles an hour, but you can be totally focused and totally present and totally there. So be still and know I'm God. And at that point, by the way, I like to use this analogy. It's kind of fun. It's tuning in a radio. I mean, most of us have radios, you know. And so what happens, you get still, you basically turn on the radio, then you get to choose.
Tune in.
To tune in. Your choice, by the way, so I'm going to give you this just for fun, is AM or FM. And there's lots of stuff on each of those basic bands, but AM essentially is the absolute mind.
Nice.
FM is the false mind or the fearful mind. So what happens is you tune in. You get still, you tune in, and you either tune in to the absolute mind, to God mind, or to the false or fearful egoic mind.
It also can sound like static.
Yeah,
that means you're not tuned
good.
In yet. So you just keep tuning in. I want to listen to God, or I want to listen to the voice of the love, whatever the word is for you.
Yeah. Now, fourth, fourth is to ask or to focus.
Right.
And to me, by the way, Bob, you asked the question, so my response to your question about what about taking your guidance into guidance, okay, is a focus, a perfectly good focus if that's it, is to clarify. So if my focus is clarity on this, I don't quite have all of this, I mean, I got this, but I don't understand it in its fullness yet, then let me listen more. So you can go for clarity as your focus. You're just asking to be more clear, more aware. How do I apply this? How do I use this? How do I share this? How do I understand
it?
Whatever it is you
want
to do. Huh?
Or
what does it mean? Yeah.
Spirit loves to have you ask, what does this mean?
So it's always good to have a focus. Now, see, this isn't like meditation. So in this regard, meditation essentially for most people is like you want to blank the mind out. You don't want the inner chatter. You want to have everything be quiet still and be open and receptive. Inner listening is really saying, I want all that stillness and I want all that openness, but I want to know about this. Or I want to know, what am I to do? Who am I to see? Where am I to go? What am I to say? And be totally open to whatever you're guided to do. So it helps to have a focus, and Betty will probably talk about it, but it's good actually to write down on the top of your inner listening page what your focus is so that it actually makes it concrete for you. A lot of times, by the way, I'll go to write down my focus and I'll rewrite it and I'll rewrite it because as I write it down, it's kind of, I think, yeah, I got it. No, I got a whole bunch of things in my mind, but if I have to write it down, I actually have to solidify it. I have to get very, very accurate. What is my focus?
Being an open, willing learner. I'm here to learn. I'm open, willing listener. I'm here to listen.
Yeah. And we've heard this, but you know, obviously what you focus on, you get more of. So Matthew 7 says, ask and it should be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. All of those are preceded by ask, seek, knock, okay? By doing something, by having a focus, having an intention. So I believe we need to do that for our inner listening as well. Five. This, it actually doesn't say any place in the Bible, write down what you hear. Although Moses did it, and it worked out pretty well for him. So, I didn't think about that before. But what happens if you don't write it down? I started to say this before. You're going to forget. Or you'll remember the egoic part or the questioning part, but you won't remember the guidance or the answer to it.
Or you'll distort it.
Or you'll get confused about what voice are you listening to. Remember I talked about AM and FM? Well, sometimes we kind of hear stuff and we don't make that distinction. It's like we're hearing multiple channels at the same time and we get a little of this one, a little of that one, it all gets kind of blended in. That's not inner listening. if you write it down, you'll actually be able to tell when you read your guidance afterwards. And by the way, I do highly recommend that you read your guidance. Okay?
Afterwards. Not while you're doing it.
Yeah, thank you. You'll be able to tell, there's a little fear in that, or there's judgment in that, or that's me trying to control that. And you can mark that. And, now there's some freedom, there's some love, there's some opening. Wow, that's the way to look at it, I haven't seen. That's the stuff you want to pay attention to. We had a friend named Wendy who was just a master at this and had fun with it.
She had two different colored pens.
Yeah, she had a red pen and a blue pen or whatever it was. And when it was Holy Spirit's voice, she used the blue pen. And when it was ego voice, she'd use her red pen. And because you're listening, you're going to hear all the stuff. You don't want it to rattle around anyway. So go ahead and write it down, but you're not going to pay attention to that. You're writing it down to let go of it. So write it all down. The other thing about writing, by the way, is it involves the kinesthetic. It involves the physical body. So you're hearing it or getting pictures, because we all hear in different ways, okay? But you're getting it mentally, but by actually writing it down, that's some physical body stuff in that and some involvement. So it grounds it more in you. And the last one is to follow your guidance. I said that before. Today is about listen and follow. But the more you follow your guidance, the more you say yes and do what it is you're guided to do, the stronger and the clearer will be your guidance in the future. It's sort of like if you had somebody that came to you and said, hey, what do you think I should do? You say, well, you ought to do this. And they, okay, thank you very much. And they go off and do something else. They come back again and say, what do you think I should do about this? This and this and this. They go off and do something else. Pretty soon they come to you and say, what do you think I should do? I don't know, and I don't really care. Do what you're going to do anyway. So without the personality in there, that's the way it is with Holy Spirit. We're not going to let Spirit talk to us if we don't follow the guidance. We'll stop hearing this good advice if we say, okay, great, I'm going to do it my own way anyway.
So let's pretend that we're all natural, innocent learners right now. I mean, that's what I'm going to suggest, is that we don't imagine what isn't going to work. Imagine that your mind, your heart, your being is open to listen. So do any of you have thoughts, or I know Rick just came in, but do any of you have thoughts about this process? Have you tried it before? Just sitting and listening and writing down what you hear? Have you done it before? Anybody?
I have my own way.
Okay.
It doesn't
good.
Really involve sitting down, listening, and writing per se. But I do reflect a lot on what I have seen either in writing or that I have written down myself before.
Different. Because this, what we're talking about right now is really practical. So when someone passes the basket, you ask, what am I to give? When you see a homeless man on the street, you ask, how am I to respond? When you have something in you that upsets you or bugs you, you ask inside, how do I respond to this? Or what does this mean? So it's a very practical, immediate thing. You know, you get a feeling like you need to move, or you need to change a job, or something's wrong in your body. And what you do is you ask, how am I to respond to this? Or what's going on in me? So it's very practical, very immediate, and very personal. That's what we're now talking about. Practical, immediate, and personal. And literally, you will always be guided to no fear, a way to respond with a sense of well-being and love, so that you literally calm down, and what happens is in every way, whether it's about, you know, your pet, or it's about the weather, or it's about what's happening around you, and you literally have a spiritually guided answer that comes through for you that you can trust. And if you try it out over and over and over again, you find out it always works. There's no missed opportunity to listen and follow.
I think part of the extended practice for me would be to write down what I do here.
Uh-huh.
I can sit and often hear almost miraculously insight, right, to a problem that I've been in a quandary.
So we're going
to
do it right now.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do it right now. So you can choose your own question or your own focus. But if you're not sure what you want to ask for, you can start out by simply asking, what am I called to do right now? And just take enough breath that you finally calm yourself, and whatever you hear, you write it down. We're actually going to take probably 5 to 10 minutes. And if there's more that you want to ask, you write that. If you want to ask what voice am I listening to, you can write that. But what am I called to do right now? What am I called to be right now? And let's just take 10 minutes of quiet time. If nothing comes, nothing comes. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. What am I called to do and be right now? comes through, whether it's a song or a verse or a question or response to something that you see or hear or know, it all has value because you're a student, a learner. You're open and listening. So one of the things that I recommend we learn how to do is how to say thank you a lot for everything, for all of it, rather than decide or determine about what you want to say thank you for and what you don't want to say thank you for. There's something about appreciation and gratitude that opens us to more and more and more. And in that more, there's always God, there's always good. Always God, always good. And often I think we stop things before we allow ourselves to get deep enough or open enough to listen to really what the gift is. So when we share, because I'm going to ask us all to share, when we share, I invite you to share as though you don't know what you've written. Some of you have already read it again. I don't tend to read mine until I'm really ready just to receive it. Not discern, not try to figure it out or ask how am I going to deal with this, but just read it as though you're presented by a very precious gift, very sacred gift. And you don't even need to know what's in this gift or what value it has. Because this gift may be for the person sitting next to you, or maybe for someone who's not even here in the room. And so for me, it's a gift when you're willing to sit, to be quiet, to be still, and to open up and listen. It's all gift, all gift. So again, I say, you don't need to share it, but what I'll tell you is the gift that you just received, if you can, I want you to acknowledge it, to appreciate it, to value it. And not take it so personally in that way that, oh my God, you know, what is this about? But let it be a gift that you just received from Holy Spirit, from the voice of love, all the various ways that you may have been. It is a gift. It is a gift. So I'll just share what I heard. I said, what am I called to do and be right now? Be here. Love all. Let go and enjoy. Offer a place to share. Let go of a need for outcome. Shine a light on everyone. And then I put a question mark when I ask a question. So is this to be done here in a daily way, in a simple way? Good practice to remind and remember. Is there a way I need to change my life? Question. Your life flows as it is, as it goes. Your life flows as it goes. No need to change or rearrange. I'm grateful for this time and space. I love this infinite grace. I know God is all in the love we share. Open your heart and care. Lay down the neglect and be erect in standing up for God, for goodness sake. Give yourself a break for heaven's sake. Now you are God and all is good. Life works in spite of the meandering and meaningless mind. Go a little deeper to clear the defenses and pretenses. Come to your senses and know the God within. This is the eternal love everyone longs for. Lo, I am with you now and always. So relax and enjoy. You are open and willing. Listen, listen, listen to my heart song. I will never forget you. I will never forsake you. Thank you, God. Love reigns. We are teachers of innocence. Here to establish the reign of love. And so it is.
Okay, thank you.
So somebody else, just share as though you've received a gift and now you're sharing it. You're sharing it with all of us. Yes, Judy, thank you.
So a balance for me, be in the present, be happy. Enjoy listening to all these people that I didn't know before I started coming here today, and all that I've gotten from everybody here. New ideas. Interesting you said thank you, because I put thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Peace. Showing love and happiness. Be open. And I wrote this twice. No judgment. Mm-hmm. No judgment. More time for me. Continuing to do more for others. And positiveness in all things.
Thank you.
Somebody else, yeah.
Well, I said to love myself and to be kind and loving to others, to sleep less, to get busy on my biography scrapbook, also pictures to hang, to follow listening within during my prayer time.
Thank you. Anybody else?
So I asked, what am I called to do about teaching now? Be new again. Before you share, ignite an inner fire. It is the light, life, and energy that heals, not the information. There must be a larger, more inclusive global motivation and focus. Remember, it is not about your gift to those physically present, but about your gift to creation. Remember that there is no order of difficulty in miracles because there is no order of magnitude in problems. They are all equally meaningless in truth and equal reminders to respond with love. And then I had a question about inner time. Yes, a good time for inner reorganization. Clear your mind of all past ways of living, giving, and loving. It will look and feel different now because it is a new time with new requirements and new calls for love. And you are new. And then I just made the hermit year. It's a hermit year this year. Use this to develop greater love and appreciation for who you are becoming.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Mine was relax. Remember to relax. Take more and longer walks. Feel, love, expect, and allow joy. Thank you.
Either you want to share?
I have a lot of chatter. A lot of chatter. Two words, gentle and joyous. But just a lot of chatter. I'm not knowing, well, I do have knowing. That's coming from me. That's not coming from me.
Gentle and joy.
Thank you. Ride the wave, I heard. There was a little laugh and a little chuckle. or the roller coaster. up and down. To the crest, move, walk, circulation, increase circulation. Thank you. Thank you.
has knowledge that there is no right way and is not seeking perfection, that with your willingness to write everything down, including your mind chatter, that what happens is it gets clear because it wants to be heard too. So it's not like needing to sort anything out or figure it out. It's just write it. Whether it comes from your ego self, your learned self, or comes from your spiritual self, sometimes called higher self, or comes from what we call Holy Spirit often, or it comes from God, or Jesus, or Buddha, or any, I'll say, positive teacher, or it comes from those little tricksters that are also available for you to tune into. If you write it, if it feels heard by you, you will eventually get very clear about what is highest and best for you because of how it feels inside. So I do recommend listening to it all, not having to work so hard to clean it out, because it will clean itself out. Your focus will clean it out. Where you give attention to, it will grow. You're focused on the mind chatter stuff, it's going to grow too. So where you give attention, it will grow, it will increase. Does that make sense to you? Yeah. So it's a practice, it's a spiritual practice. If you wanna, you know, take it on to yourself, you know, enjoy it. Let it be like a little kid who's just listening to, I don't know, your great teacher. And what you're gonna do is you're gonna write it down. And if the teacher says, you know, go for a walk, you get up and you go for a walk. Yeah. All good. So I want to say this Saturday time has been, you know, a very precious time and a really, from my standpoint, a really good transition time from unity and being a part of the Unity Sunday service. And of course, I think some of you know I began transitioning actually in September because that felt important for the circumstance there. And there are many, many, many other ways and other opportunities we all have to give, to love, to serve. And that's what you're really wanting to do, is to find that place inside where you know where you're guided. We didn't put them out, but I will put them out before you leave. They're up there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're actually in the schedule for the monthly activities. So we were gone during a little more than half of May. And then on the 21st, we're back here. And we focus on that Saturday morning on prosperity and stewardship, on recognizing that you always have plenty, that we've been living in a myth, especially in our culture, of not having enough and needing more. But we always have plenty. That's kind of the bottom line. If you read that, even if you don't come, you'll see one liner which basically says, you know, what we always hear or remember. And then in June, there's going to be an all-day retreat at our home in Brentwood. And the topic for that retreat is relationship communication. And it will be from 9:30 to 4, and I'll provide lunch. That's June 25th. And then in July, it's going to be a morning workshop here again. On, I think I call it family cooperation, which really means the cooperation in humanity, because the truth is we're all family. I know some people this morning especially were talking about unity feels like a family, but the truth is we're all family. We're just not all family that gets along or loves each other. So so that's the July half-day workshop. And then in August, there's a workshop, the 20th, an all-day, and maybe it's going to be overnight. I just heard it this morning, just brought it in this morning, and that's going to be August 20th, and right now it's on self-love and self-realization, that I'm aware that our greatest need, in order to be free, in order to trust, in order to know God, is to love ourselves, and so many of us still are holding something against ourselves. We're in some way resisting absolutely embracing all that we are. And so that will be either a one day, all day, but somebody asked for an overnight, so I've got to look
at that.
At the lake house.
Yeah, that will be up.
Which is 2 hours and 10 minutes from here. So those are the ways that I know that we're going to continue, and we shall see, because frankly, I'm open and willing, and there's always a new chapter, always a new movie, always a new something coming through. So I want to say thank you to you. And I'm going to, I said this morning about this, if you can say thank you, if you can say thank you to you, thank you to the folks who are here, thank you for, you know, giving yourself this opportunity, you'll have a greater sense of completion. That thank you is always important. What do you want to say, huh?
Oh, I just was saying thank you.
Oh.
And thank you for your contributions in that basket there, because they have really helped, and they do help to support the space and to support the other things that we do. So, yeah. Blessings.
So anybody else want to share anything?
Thank you for being able to be with everybody and enjoy your presence and enjoy sharing together.
Yeah. Thank you.
I would like to say that I came initially because I was bringing Evelyn, who's my stepmother. And of course I know them and I appreciate them greatly. But what I have gotten out of this over these weeks is just not even measurable, really. So I so appreciate it. It's so much more than me bringing her. It's become something for myself that I really take from here, and thank you so much.
Thank
you, Judy.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Take one of the, I'll put them out on the table, but take one of the flyers with the Saturday programs, because that's a way that's already planned and set, and where we can stay connected here. So, and there'll be other opportunities, and we'll just be letting you know as Spirit fills her mind with them.
Remember, sometimes we don't know this, but the teacher cannot be a teacher without students, and the teacher is always learning from the students and from the students' questions and what they ask the teacher. So We become students because there are students. I mean, it literally is a reciprocal process. Giving and receiving are the same. Teaching and learning are the same. And it's just, you know, each of us is at our own place at any given point in time. By the way, I did hear before I came, and I'm not sure that there's a call right now, so I'm going to listen more, and you can listen. But I have spent time in many of the places I've been where we do inner listening on a daily or weekly basis as a group, and people gather. The Home of Truth, what we left them with, one of the things, I was minister there for a year, and one of the things I left them with was a Sunday morning inner listening group where people just sat around the table and each of them inner listened and shared. And there was not discussion on purpose because we were meant to be inspired by it. It was meant to be a spiritual time, not a personality time. So that's something that I am open and willing to participate in if it ever comes up because it is so powerful. So, yeah. Yep. Course in Miracles is my other favorite too. I'm always a good student of the course with people who are wanting to, you know, go deeper in that kind of walk with Jesus and what his teachings were and are. He continues to teach really, really, really big for all of us if you're willing. Yeah. So thank you. Thank you. Hugs to all of us. And know this place is open if anybody wants.